Is MSC Allen. Lovely to have you in our studio. Good morning. Thank you for coming in on a Monday morning before a public holiday.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here. I've had coffee already, so I'm good to go.
How many grey hairs have you added to your mop of hair over the last 105 days, do you think?
I've stopped counting after grey hair number 4.
Because it is a daunting job, right? I mean, crime is one of those real issues in South Africa that we're just seemingly not getting under control in any way.
Indeed, it's a daunting task, and when the Premier approached me, I immediately obviously realized the daunting task and the need for safety stakeholders to work together to take politics out of it. I normally tell safety stakeholders that poly means many in Latin and ticks means blood-sucking creatures, which is an indication that politics, and there's a whole lot of references with regard to the Zondo Commission, state capture, where there's been blood-sucking creatures in politics. So I would want to take that out of the safety scene, work with CPFs, with the South African Police Service, with the City of Cape Town, in order to ensure that we reduce crime.
You find yourself in a very intriguing role because, in all fairness, in provincial government, outside of health and education, the rest of the portfolios are very much regional entities, if you like, executing what is a national plan. You have an oversight role as far as policing is concerned, but you have no instructive role. You can't tell the police commissioner in the Western Cape, General Patekile, what to do or what not to do, can you?
We make recommendations. In terms of the policing needs and priorities report, which is a legislated process, we've made recommendations. Sadly, many of our recommendations are hardly taken into account because choices are made all the way in Pretoria, which is 1,500 kilometers away from where we are sitting. So budget would come from national, seeing that SAPS is a national competency. We are calling for SAPS to be devolved to provinces like the Western Cape so that we can have that control and management.
So what
over.
Advantage then would the people of the Western Cape enjoy if SAPS was controlled regionally as opposed to nationally?
There's every indication that when SAPS is closer or when policing is closer to the people, the needs and priorities of this province will be taken into account at a far higher rate. For example, we would then be able to make choices on skewed allocations based on the resourcing allocations and the needs in the province. Because we all know the Western Cape, Northern Cape, there's crime, but crime is also very different in various provinces. So that's why our call has been very clear, and we are keen to engage the National Minister of Police in this regard. The Constitution does make provision for that. Even national police policy makes provision for that. And we would want to say, let's do it, because ultimately it's even SAPS members on the ground that is feeling the brunt. Whenever I visit a SAPS station, the sentiment of under-resourcing, under-training is so evident that SAPS members here, the good men and women in blue that is working hard, is being at a disadvantage because of under-resourcing.
Well, Police Minister Bekicela is expected to be at Athlone Magistrates Court later on today. Eyewitness News reporting that three men arrested for being in possession of a massive haul of cocaine expected to face the magistrate later today. The trio were caught with cocaine with more than 400 million rand. Mm. Are you going to be at the court, and are you going to be engaging the minister on these issues?
I've been engaging him quite often. We hardly get a heads up whenever he is here, even though we've made some public announcements that he will be inviting me. I've not received any invitation from him as yet. However, on this drug bus, I do want to say that we have a police ombudsman, which is the only province that has a police ombudsman, where we look at inefficiencies within the South African Police Service to actually see how we are able to assist the SAPS, to strengthen the hand of the SAPS and build the trust between communities and the SAPS. I've launched an investigation into the amount of known drug houses. In terms of shutting down those drug houses, there's 1,557 known drug houses in our province, which is obviously very concerning. And the Ombudsman's recommendations there too, we will also push for it to be implemented to know that drugs needs to be taken off our streets. So I wish to commend law enforcement, SAPS and all entities that played a role in this 400 million cocaine drug bust, because it's so evident it could have landed in the streets. It could have landed in our schools, for example, and that would have caused the entire fabric of our communities to continuously be destroyed.
Why do we not have law enforcement and SAPS, particularly outside those 1,500 houses now and shutting them down now? What's stopping us from a legal standpoint, I suppose, but also from a bureaucratic process standpoint?
That's the thing. That's why I was talking to someone and I said, should SAPS be here under the provincial government's command? That will be one of the first things that I will do to make sure that we do sting operations, but to effectively shut down those drug houses because we know where they are. In the area called Mitchell's Plain, where I grew up, there's one particular house that sold drugs to three generations. The grandfather, the father, and the son at the same house. So we would definitely want to shut down those drug houses and conduct sting operations. There is a 252 in terms of the SAPS Act, where you are able to enter into a premises that is concerned, that is deemed to be problematic. So that is one of the first things that I would do.
So what's the challenge here? Is General Particular not going to the houses that you have identified and saying, these are drug houses, let's do something? And what reason is he giving you for not doing so?
SAPS is not doing enough. There's not enough resources even from SAPS' side to do it. Also in terms of the corruption that we see in the South African Police Service, I've been very clear that whenever a drug bust is happening or a raid is happening, it should ideally not be from the station that serves that particular area. It would rather have to be a special unit that will come from outside of the Mitchells Plain area or the Steenberg area in order to conduct that particular raid. Because sadly, we've even seen when some drug lords are in cahoots with SAPS members. So it's not all SAPS members, but there is corruption that's a widely accepted fact.
Which is something that Janine Nkomiki raises on the WhatsApp line, saying, what will the MEC do to eliminate police corruption, those who assist criminals?
We will definitely make sure that we send a stern message. They will be investigated and they will ultimately land up behind bars. We will consistently call for SAPS to be professional, but also to adhere to the law, so that we are ultimately then able to protect and serve from the SAPS side. So I think a sterner outlook, we need to be clear that that corruption will not be tolerated, because we've seen if it seeps in, it will build and grow and grow, and it needs to be nipped in the bud ultimately.
In the lead, an hour ago, we spoke to Jacques Marais. He is a partner at Adams & Adams. He is an attorney representing the Intercape Bus Company, and you would have known, of course, about developments there. This is what he had to say.
Ultimately, what really needs to happen is that there needs to be a coordinated law enforcement effort that leads to arrests. There's been various comments around facilitation of discussion, mediation between different parties, and so on. But the reality is, whilst all those things are very important, and where there is certainly a need for discussion and facilitation between law-abiding taxi representatives and representatives of the long-distance bus industry, what cannot happen is facilitation and mediation between those who are perpetrating crimes and law-abiding operators.
That's Jacques Marais, attorney, rather partner at Adams & Adams, talking about, of course, a docket of information that they seemingly handed over to law enforcement, indicating where these extortionists, and we're going to talk about extortions in a moment, but this year alone, they've had 29 stonings and 19 shootings targeting Intercape. That's not only the property of Intercape and the, obviously, drivers, it's the commuters. The bus having to sort of drive off an embankment to respond to a shooting that was happening at that time could have endangered other people. Mm. What can you and your government do to ensure the safety of Intercape, but also the rest of us?
It's deeply concerning, first and foremost. What we have done in the Western Cape is that we've met with Intercape, between the Premier as well as the Provincial Minister or MEC for Mobility, Dalen Mitchell. There has been engagement. We actually wrote to the President in this regard to ensure that SAPS actually do their job. But then that particular letter was then circulated back to the National Minister of Police for action. We've not received a reply in that regard. So it is concerning. And in our engagements, whenever there's extortion, whenever there's taxi industries or any criminal wanting to regulate the long distance bus commuting routes, it becomes deeply problematic because they can cement themselves and they can take over an entire legitimate industry. So we've called for SAPS to play their role, for more sting operations to happen, but also for engagement between law enforcement at local government level for that sting operations to happen so that perpetrators can ultimately be caught.
Because rightly, Jaak Maree indicating in that interview that Intercape is refusing to negotiate with somebody who is breaking the law,
yes,
in order to ensure that Intercape is robbed of whatever revenue is due to them.
Yes, and I think that's the proper stance, because once criminals get a leg in or foot in, they will ultimately then want to broaden that particular scope. So there should never be a negotiation with a particular criminal group that is wanting to extort.
Sticking to extortions, we know that communities of Khayelitsha, Mfuleni, in such areas, week in, week out, have incidents of shooting, often in taverns, from extortionists who are wanting to secure protection money, right? Mm. And those business owners sometimes have no choice but to go, we don't have it, and therefore they'll start shooting. Where are we in the investigation around some of the syndicates or the kingpins around extortion in the Western Cape?
We've seen extortion at a number of different levels. For example, in terms of the nightclub scene, there's a current case in the High Court that is currently undergo, but we also have seen where in Khayelitsha, Guguletu, there has been dispenser shops that has been extorted to a large extent. And many of the mass murders in Khayelitsha, for example, were directly linked to motive extortion. So we've seen it has led to mass murders, to people dying in our streets here in the Western Cape, in Khayelitsha and Guguletu, for example. And we've seen some successes in terms of the arrests being made, but we also want to see more convictions, because the conviction will act as a deterrent for would-be criminals. The reality is, Africa, that we see that whenever there is an arrest, a vacuum is created for a new grouping to then enter. So without a conviction as a deterrent, new groupings will always want to pop up, thinking that they are able to then also extort because they will not be convicted. So we have been very clear. We need to see sting operations in that regard as well, but also to ensure that convictions happen, to act as a key deterrent for would-be criminals.
Parting question from me. It's day 105 since you took over the role. What are your priorities?
Our priorities is to continue to extend our oversight role and call for SAPS to be devolved to our province, but also to foster relationships between safety stakeholders and implement the Western Cape Safety Plan, where we have seen successes in terms of the LEAP officers where they are deployed in 10 of the hotspot areas. In 8 of those, we've actually seen a reduction in the murder rate. So we've seen successes, but we obviously know we still have a long way to go in that whole of government approach. I remain committed to engage safety stakeholders, walk with neighborhood watches to get a sense of what is needed in the community, because we fund capacitated and accredited neighborhood watches. We fund CPFs and help and assist them in terms of their programming. But we are heading in the right direction. And I feel confident that despite Africa, it's day 105. And this morning I feel a little tired. But when I engage the people on the ground, I'm filled with hope and optimism, knowing that we are going in the right direction and that we will be able to see how we are able to reduce crime, but ultimately ensure that our communities become safer.
Well, stop waiting for that invitation from the police minister. He's going to be at Athlone Magistrates Court later today. Just corner him and say, Minister, we need to talk about this.
I will do so.
Thank you very much to the MEC for Community Safety and Police Oversight in the Western Cape, MEC Regan Allen.